بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. مركز التوحيد بمدينة سيدني أستراليا، بالاشتراك مع سيلفي ليكتشرز أستراليا ومكتبة الموحدين بالبحر الكاريبي، يسعدهم تقديم الشيخ العزيز خالد بن ضحوي الضفير حفظه الله ورعاه في دروس الأصول الستة، وهذا هو الدرس الثاني بإذن الله تعالى، وهذا في يوم السبت 14 ذو القعدة 1439 هجري، الموافق 28 يوليو 2018 ميلادي. مركز التوحيد in Sydney, Australia, along with Selfie Lectures Australia, in conjunction with Muhideen Publications in the Caribbean, are pleased to announce the second class of the six principles of Iman with our beloved Sheikh, Sheikh Khaled bin Dahw al-Dhafiri, Hafidhah Allah wa Ra'ah. And that's on the 14th, the day of Saturday, the 14th, Dhul Qa'dah, 1439 Hijri, corresponding to the 28th of July, 2018, Miladi. فليتفضل مأجورا مشكورا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع هداه، أما بعد، أحياكم الله إخوتي جميعا بهذا الدرس الثاني من كتاب الأصول الستة لشيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى. وكنا شرحنا الدرس الماضي مقدمة الإمام لهذا الكتاب، وكانت في بيان أن هذه الأصول الستة قد وضحها الله عز وجل غاية التوضيح والبيان بأدلة القرآن والسنة، والعجب من أناس أذكياء يخطئون في هذه الأصول، يغلطون فيها ولا يفهمها إلا لا يفهمها ويعمل بها إلا القليل. وهذا أوان أو وقت الدخول في هذه الأصول مع الأصل الأول بحول الله وقوته.
Sheikh Abdullah started by saying, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, all praises due to Allah and peace and blessings upon the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family and his companions, and whoever who follow his guidance till the day of judgment thereafter. My dear brothers, all together, Hayyakum Allah, in the second class of the book Al-Usul Sitta, the six principles for Sheikh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah. And we have explained in the first class, last class, the introduction of the Imam for this book, and it was to show us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have clarified beyond any doubt what are the six principles with the proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is amazing that you see people with intellect, people that are supposed to be smart, and they make mistakes in these principles, and they misunderstand it, or don't even understand those six principles, don't even work with those six principles except for a few of them. And it's about time to enter in these principles bi idhnillahi ta'ala, and today we're going to start with the first principle, with the might and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
قال رحمه الله تعالى: الأصل الأول إخلاص الدين لله تعالى وحده لا شريك له، وبيان ضده الذي هو الشرك. بدأ رحمه الله بهذا الأصل وهو الإخلاص لله عز وجل، لأن هذا الأصل هو قاعدة الدين، وهو المعترك بين الأنبياء وبين أقوامهم، وهو الذي لأجله أرسل الله عز وجل الرسل، أنزل الكتب، فهو الغاية العظمى والحكمة الكبيرة التي لأجلها خلق الله عز وجل الثقلين، وقال سبحانه وتعالى: وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. وعبادة الله عز وجل تضمنت إخلاص الدين والبعد عن الشرك، إخلاص الدين لله والبعد عن الشرك بالله سبحانه وتعالى. ودل على هذا الأصل كثير من آيات الكتاب وسنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. والإخلاص في اللغة هو التصفية والتنقية، كما يقال: أخلصت الذهب، أي صفيته من الشوائب ومن الأوساخ ومن الأشياء التي تعلق به. والمقصود هنا بالإخلاص هو إخلاص أنواع التوحيد الثلاث، فإخلاص الدين يدخل فيه أنواع التوحيد الثلاث: الإخلاص في الربوبية لله عز وجل، والإخلاص في الألوهية، والإخلاص في الأسماء والصفات، نثبت ما أثبته الله لنفسه وأثبته له رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وننفي ما نفاه الله عن نفسه ونفاه عنه رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم من الأسماء والصفات على طريقة أهل السنة والجماعة. يدل على الإخلاص قوله تعالى: فاعبد الله مخلصا له الدين، وقول الله عز وجل: قل إني أمرت أن أعبد الله مخلصا له الدين. وأدلة الإخلاص في الكتاب والسنة كما ذكرت كثيرة.
هذا الشيخ حفظ الله سيد أن الله سبحانه وتعالى regarding this first principle, which is, as we learned, the first principle rather is to be sincerely in the religion for Allah Ta'ala, alone without any partners. And to clarify what's opposite to ikhlas or to sincerity, that is shirk or polytheism. So the writer started with this principle, that is to be sincere to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, because this principle is the foundation of the religion of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. It is the reason so much arguing happened between the prophets, the messengers, and their followers. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the messengers and the prophets and the books. It is the utmost objective, and it is the greatest of wisdom. That is for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created al-thaqalain, al-jinn wal-ins. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, and we have not created jinn and ins except to worship me. So worshiping Allah included sincerity in the religion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to be as far away from polytheism as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated so. And the proof of this principle is mentioned by so many of the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, as well as the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ikhlas for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the language meaning to purify and to purify and clean out. As it was said, for example, أخلصت الذهب, I purified the gold, meaning I purified and cleaned the gold of any filth, impurities, and anything that may not belong to that metal. What's meant with ikhlas in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ikhlas of all the three parts of tawheed or categories of tawheed. That is to be sincere in rububiyyah, and to be sincere in uluhiyyah, and to be sincere in asma and sifat. And to affirm what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have affirmed to himself and what his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam affirmed to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. and negate what Allah have negated to himself, and negate what the Messenger of Allah negated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the names and attributes upon the way of the people of the Sunnah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, so worship Allah sincerely for him in the religion. Also he said subhanahu wa ta'ala, say, O Muhammad, I've been commanded to worship Allah sincerely for him in the religion. And the proofs of ikhlas are so many and plenty in the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
No. الإخلاص لله سبحانه وتعالى هو أحد شروط قبول العمل، وهذا دليل على أهميته، فإن الله عز وجل لا يقبل العمل من العبد إلا إذا كان فيه مخلصا لله عز وجل، وكان فيه أيضا متابعا للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له. الله عز وجل أخبر في كتابه أن من كان يرجو لقاءه ورؤيته في الدار الآخرة يجب عليه أن يعبد الله بهذين الشرطين. قال عز من قائل في آخر آية في سورة الكهف، فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا. فالذي عبد الله عز وجل بالإخلاص وبالمتابعة هم خير الناس، ومن أخل بالشرطين فهم شر الناس، اخترعوا عبادات وتوجهوا بها لغير الله. النوع الثالث، ومن عبد الله بالإخلاص وترك المتابعة، وهذا إخلاص ناقص لا شك، وهذا حال أهل البدع الذين قد يكون عند بعضهم نوع من الإخلاص ومحبة الله، لكن عمله مردود لأنه لم يكن على هدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ما لم يأتي عليه أمرنا فهو رد. والرابع هم حال المنافقين الذين في الظاهر على هيئة المتابعة، لكن قلوبهم توجهت لغير الله، يريدون السمعة والرياء أو أبطنوا الكفر. هذا حال أهل النفاق وحال المرائين، وهذا يدلنا على أن الله عز وجل يطلب من العبد أن يعبده مخلصا متابعا، كما قال المولى سبحانه وتعالى، ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. قال الفضيل بن عياض، أحسن عملا أي أخلصه وأصوبه. فقيل يا أبا علي فسر لنا هذا، فقال إذا كان العمل خالصا ولم يكن صوابا أي متابعا للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يقبل، إذا كان العمل صوابا ولم يكن خالصا لم يقبل، حتى يكون خالصا صوابا، خالصا لله عز وجل، صوابا على هدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. نعم.
شيخ عبد الله continued by saying, so ikhlas for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the conditions for the action of the servant to be accepted. This is a proof for the actually the intention, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept action from the servant except if that action was sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, this is a proof for the importance of ikhlas, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not accept the action from the servant except if it was sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, say, O Muhammad, verily my salah, my sacrifice, My life and my death are all for Allah, the Lord of the worlds. No partners with Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in His book that whoever wants to meet Him and see Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the hereafter, it's a must upon him to worship Him with these two conditions, ikhlas and mutaba'ah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, so whoever wishes for meeting his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, he must do a righteous deed and does not associate in the worship of Allah anybody else. So whoever worship Allah with sincerity and mutaba'ah will be from the best of the people. And whoever worships Allah without sincerity or mutaba'ah will be from the most evil of the people, which is second part or second kind of people. As for those who have innovated actions of worship to other than Allah, or worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity, but they left off mutaba'ah, left off sincerity, then their ikhlas is deficient. And whoever worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with, or as the Sheikh said, rather take that back, whoever worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with ikhlas, but did not do that upon the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning without following the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the ikhlas is deficient. And this is the condition of the people of innovations. Those who have some kind of sincerity and some kind of love for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but yet they're not following the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith, and whoever does not come with upon our affairs of ours, then it will be refuted, it will be nullified. And the fourth category here is the condition of the hypocrites, wal-iyadu billah. The hypocrites outwardly show that they follow the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they're upon mutaba'ah, but their hearts have turned to other than Allah. This is the condition of people of hypocrisy and people of showing off, wal-iyadu billah. And that tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking of His servant to worship Him upon ikhlas and upon mutaba'ah, sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, and He subhanahu wa ta'ala will test you to see who from amongst you has the best action. Ibn Iyad, rahimahullah, he said, it means the one that have the most sincerity and the one that's upon the most correctness regarding the action of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he was asked about this statement, what do you mean by who's the one that has the most sincerity and the one that's most correct? Oh, Aba Ali, and that was his nickname. Then Aba Ali, or Ibn Iyad, rahimahullah, said, if the action was sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and was not correct, it would not be accepted. And if the action was correct and it wasn't sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would not be accepted. The action would only be accepted if it was sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and correct, meaning upon the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
ثم قال رحمه الله تعالى وبيان ضده الذي هو الشرك من أراد معرفة التوحيد غاية المعرفة فإنه يجب عليه أن يعرف ضده وهو الشرك بالله عز وجل كما قال عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه إنما تنقض عرى الإسلام عروة عروة إذا ظهر في الإسلام من لا يعرف الجاهلية إذا كان العبد لا يعرف الشرك بالله عز وجل إنه قد يقع به وقد يقع فيه من حيث لا يشعر إن الشرك له طرق كثيرة وسائل متعددة سواء في جانب الشرك الأكبر أو الشرك الأصغر وكما قيل والضد يظهر حسنه الضد وبضدها تتبين الأشياء وبضدها تتبين الأشياء والشرك كما تعلمون هو على نوعين، شرك أكبر وهو أن تساوي غير الله بالله، وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام أن تجعل لله ندا وهو خلقك، كما قال المولى سبحانه وتعالى بل هم قوم يعدلون، أي يساوون غير الله بالله عز وجل، فيصرفون أنواع العبادة لغير الله سبحانه وتعالى. وأي عبادة صرفها لغير الله عز وجل شرك. النوع الثاني هو الشرك الأصغر، وهو كل وسيلة توصل إلى الشرك الأكبر، وجاء في النصوص إطلاق لفظ الشرك عليها. وكلا النوعين الأكبر والأصغر منه ما هو ظاهر ومنه ما هو خفي. بهذا يظهر أن التقسيم الصحيح للشرك أنه على نوعين أكبر وأصغر، بعض أهل العلم يزيد نوعا ثالثا فيقول الخفي، والصواب كما رجح ذلك الشيخ بن باز رحمه الله تعالى أن الخفي الشرك الخفي داخل في النوعين، يكون شرك أكبر ظاهر وشرك أكبر خفي، وشرك أصغر ظاهر وشرك أصغر خفي. مثل الشرك الأكبر الظاهر كالذبح لغير الله والسجود لغير الله، والشرك الأكبر الخفي كشرك وكفر المنافقين، والشرك الأصغر الظاهر كالحلف بغير الله، والشرك الأصغر الخفي كيسير الرياء، وهكذا. والعبد يجب عليه أن يخاف أشد الخوف من الشرك بالله عز وجل، لأن الله عز وجل قال إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء، وهذا شامل لنوعي الشرك كما رجح ذلك شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يتخوف الشرك على أصحابه، ويقول ابن أبي مليكة رحمه الله تعالى أدركت 30 من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كلهم يخاف على نفسه النفاق. العبد يجب عليه أن يخاف من الشرك ومن الوقوع فيه. إذا كان إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام قد خاف على نفسه عبادة الأصنام وهو إمام الموحدين، هو الذي كسرها بيده، كان يدعو الله ويقول اجنبني وبني أن نعبد الأصنام. قال إبراهيم التيمي ومن يأمن البلاء بعد إبراهيم. وظهور الخوف من الشرك عند العبد يورثه أن يتعلم الشرك ومظاهره حتى يجتهد في البعد عنه والخلاص منه. قد دلت نصوص الكتاب والسنة على خطورة الشرك، وهذه بعض أوجه الخطورة. أولا أن الشرك أظلم الظلم، إن الشرك لظلم عظيم. والثاني أن الشرك يبطل العمل ويحبطه. والثالث الخلود في النار وتحريم الجنة. والرابع عدم المغفرة، إلى غير ذلك من الأوجه التي تدل على خطورة الشرك. فهذا يدفعنا لتعلمه لنحذره ولنحذر منه الناس جميعا. نعم.
شيخنا في اختلط عليه الأمر أمثلة شرك الأصغر الظاهر والخفي.
الشرك الأصغر الظاهر مثل الحلف بغير الله، الشرك الأصغر الخفي مثل يسير الرياء.
يسير الرياء، بارك الله فيكم الشيخ عبد الله تنسيني بايسين. Then Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah told us about what is shirk, and rather told us about what is tawheed, and told us what is opposite to that, that is shirk. So whoever wanted to know what tawheed is, the way he should know it, it's a must upon him to know what's the opposite of tawheed, that is shirk. As Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said, verily the knots of Islam will be undone one by one if it came from amongst the Muslims, or came amongst those who are upon Islam, those who will not know what jahiliyyah or ignorance is. So if that slave or the servant does not know what shirk is, he may fall into that shirk, or he may come across shirk from ways he would never know. And shirk has so many ways and so many various sources, whether that shirk is major shirk or minor shirk. As it was said, the opposite is shown in its perfection by another opposite. And by showing the opposite, things are clear in the lines of poetry. And shirk, as you probably know, is shirk akbar, major shirk. And this is defined that, wal'iyadu billah, to equate with Allah other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that you associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a partner, and he is the one, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that created you. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the ayah, بَلْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ يَعْدِلُونَ, rather they are people that equate, meaning equate other than Allah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or equate along with Allah other than Allah. In other words, they do actions of worship to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And any action of worship cannot be done to other than Allah. Any action of worship that is done to other than Allah, in other words, is a form of polytheism or shirk. And the second form of shirk is a shirk al-asghar or minor shirk. That is every path, every way, every road that will reach to major shirk or shirk akbar. As has been stated in the text from the Quran and Sunnah, that the statement of the word shirk, or itlaq love the shirk alayha, anything that will lead to shirk is anything that, okay, how can we say this? Shaykhna, قلتم وهو كل وسيلة توصل للشرك الأكبر وجاء في النصوص إطلاق لفظ الشرك عليها.
نعم.
يعني كيف أشرح هذه إطلاق لفظ الشرك عليها؟ أي شيء أطلق عليه الشرك في النصوص فهو من الشرك الأصغر؟
هو وسيلة.
هو كل وسيلة.
أمر يعني كل أمر ليس شرك أكبر وجاء وصفه بالنصوص بأنه شرك يعتبر من الوسائل، فهذا شرك أصغر.
نعم اللهم بارك. So as the Sheikh Abdullah mentioned, as I asked for clarity on this point, anything that came in the text of the Quran and Sunnah regarding matters of shirk other than shirk akbar or leading to shirk akbar, then it is a form of shirk asghar. Anything that came in the text
that من حلف بغير الله فقد أشرك ده شرك أصغر.
نعم. Just like swearing by other than Allah, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever swears by other than Allah, then he has fallen to shirk. That refers to minor shirk. Naam, Allahumma barik. So both types of shirk, as the Sheikh said, have between the two of them what is obvious or what is done in the open and what is hidden or done in secret. And by doing so, you would learn that the correct division of shirk is to be divided between shirk akbar and shirk asghar, major shirk and minor shirk. Some of the people of knowledge will add to the two types of shirk, what they call الشرك الخفي or hidden shirk. But Ibn Baz رحمه الله said الشرك الخفي or hidden shirk is actually part of the two types of shirk. So we have, by doing so, we would learn that major shirk has the obvious type as well as the hidden type, or the one that's done in the open and the one that's done in secret, as well as shirk asghar has the type that is done in the open and one that's done in secret. The similar or the examples of that, of major shirk, for example, that is done in the open, like a slaughtering to other than Allah or prostrating to other than Allah. An example of shirk akbar that is hidden is the shirk of al-munafiqeen, the hypocrites. An example of the shirk asghar that is done in the open, or minor shirk that is done in the open, like swearing by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And an example of minor shirk that's hidden, like what we may call the ease or the little of showing off, wal-iyadu billah. Little of showing off, or yasir al-riya', wal-iyadu billah. So it's upon the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have the most fear, to be upon the most fear of matters of shirk. Because our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have said, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive to associate partners with him, and forgives other than that for whoever he wills. As Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah mentioned, also our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fear shirk upon his companions. May Allah be pleased with them all. As Abu Mulaika mentioned, that I caught up to at least 30 of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu
alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Abi Mulaika. Ibn Abi Mulaika.
Jazakum Allah khair. I stand corrected, as Ibn Abu Mulaika mentioned that I caught to 30 of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of them used to fear upon themselves to fall into nifaq or hypocrisy. The servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be upon the utmost fear of falling into hypocrisy and falling into matters of shirk. If Ibrahim, as the Shaykh said, Hafidhahullah, if Ibrahim, the Prophet of Allah, used to fear upon himself worshipping the idols, and he was the leader of people of Tawheed, he was the Imam of Al-Muwahideen, he was the one that broke all these idols with his own hands, yet he feared upon himself to worship the idols. As he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or rather the Prophet Ibrahim said in the Quran, O Allah, keep me and my children, keep me and my offspring protected from worshipping the idols. At-Taymi said regarding this ayah, Ibrahim al-Taymi said regarding this ayah, and who after the Prophet Ibrahim will feel safe regarding such matters upon themselves? If Ibrahim alayhi salam feared upon himself such matters, who will come after Ibrahim that will feel safe regarding these matters? To be upon fear of matters of shirk as a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it a must upon the servant of Allah to learn these matters so they would keep themselves away from these matters of shirk. And the texts from the Quran and Sunnah have indicated the danger of shirk. And we learned certain points regarding the dangers of shirk. The first of which is that shirk is the most oppressive of oppression. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, verily a shirk or polytheism is a great transgression or a great oppression. And the second point, that shirk will nullify the action, as we learn from the text of the Quran and Sunnah. And the third point, that shirk will lead the person to stay for eternity in the hellfire, wal-iyadu billah, and never get to see the paradise. And the fourth point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive whoever is upon shirk, but will forgive other than that. That shows us from so many ways and in so many forms how dangerous shirk is upon the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in itself pushes us to learn the dangers and be aware of the matters of shirk. Now,
ثم قال رحمه الله تعالى وكون أكثر القرآن في بيان هذا الأصل من وجوه شتى بكلام يفهمه أبلد العامة يبين رحمه الله تعالى هنا ما أشار إليه في مقدمة هذا الكتاب مما قرأناه في الدرس الماضي أنه مع وضوح الكلام في الكتاب والسنة عن التوحيد وإفراد الله عز وجل بالعبادة والنهي عن الشرك من أدلة كثيرة ووجوه شتى يفهمه أقل الناس علما بل أبلدهم وأضعفهم فهما يفهم أن الله يأمر بالتوحيد وينهى عن الشرك ومع هذا يقع فيه وفي الانحراف فيه يقع في الانحراف فيه والبعد عنه كثير ممن يقال عنهم أنهم من أذكياء الناس تجده بارع في الفقه في الأحكام في الفرائض في اللغة لكنه إذا جاء في التوحيد وقع في الشرك وقع في التوسل بغير الله سبحانه وتعالى وقع في البدع وقع عنده الخلل في هذا الباب الأهم والأعظم ألا وهو التوحيد وهذا لا شك أنه من أشد العجب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جاء بتحقيق التوحيد وإخلاصه وسد كل طريق يوصل إلى نقض التوحيد أو إنقاصه سد الطرق التي تؤدي إلى إبطال التوحيد أو إلى نقص التوحيد إبطاله كالشرك الأكبر ونقصه كالشرك الأصغر لذلك الإمام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله عقد في كتاب التوحيد بابين كلاهما بنفس العنوان باب ما جاء في حماية المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم حمى التوحيد وسد طرق الشرك من نظر في كتاب الله عز وجل يجد أنه كله في التوحيد كذلك دعوة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين الأول أمر يأتيك حين قراءتك للقرآن يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون يأمر بعبادة الله وحده لا شريك له يأمر الناس جميعا بإفراد الله بالتوحيد هذا أول أمر بالتوحيد من قرأ الفاتحة أول أمر بالقرآن من قرأ الفاتحة وجد أنها في التوحيد بل نصت على أقسام التوحيد الثلاث كذلك في آخر القرآن في سورة الناس ذكرت أقسام التوحيد الثلاث حياة المسلم كلها في التوحيد وفي أقسام التوحيد بالحث على إخلاص الدين لله والبراءة من الشرك وأهله لذلك ذكر ابن القيم رحمه الله أن من السنن في قراءة بالقراءة في ركعتي سنة الفجر أن يبدأ بالأولى بسورة الكافرون قل يا أيها الكافرون وفي الركعة الثانية بالإخلاص قل هو الله أحد وكذلك في سنة المغرب وهذا فيه إشارة إلى أن المسلم يبدأ يومه بالتوحيد، ينهيه بالتوحيد، ويبدأ ليله بالتوحيد، ينهيه بالتوحيد. حياة المسلم كلها في التوحيد. بل نص ابن القيم أيضا رحمه الله على أن القرآن كله في توحيد الله. قال: لأن القرآن يأتي من خمسة أوجه، إما في بيان الأمر بالتوحيد، الثاني نهي عن الشرك، هذا لا شك أنه كله في التوحيد، وفي الثالث في بيان جزاء الموحدين ومآلهم، ما حصل لهم من القصص والإنعام، وهذا في جزاء الموحدين، الثالث في عقوبة المشركين، والرابع في عقوبة المشركين وما حصل لهم ومآلهم في النار، هذا في عقوبة أهل الشرك، الخامس في الأحكام والأوامر والنواهي، وهذه كلها من مكملات التوحيد. القرآن كله في توحيد الله عز وجل. وجمع بعض أهل العلم دلائل توحيد الألوهية، قالوا أن القرآن دل على توحيد الله عز وجل من عدة أوجه، من هذه الأوجه ونذكرها لكم باختصار: الأول، الآيات التي دلت على ربوبية الله، هي دلائل على إفراد الله بالألوهية. والثاني، الآيات التي فيها ذكر أسماء الله وصفاته، يلزم على ذلك إفراد الله بالتوحيد. أرباب متفرقون خير أم الله الواحد القهار؟ الثالث، كون النفع والضر بيده سبحانه وتعالى، على هذا يجب إفراد الله بالتوحيد. الرابع، كثرة إنعامه وآلائه وإحسانه على عباده. الخامس، في قصص السابقين كلها تدل على وجوب التوحيد. السادس، ضرب الأمثال في القرآن، ضرب كثيرا من الأمثال التي تدل على إفراد الله بالتوحيد. والسابع، افتقار المخلوقات إليه، من ذلك افتقار الملائكة وافتقار الرسل وسيد الخلق لله عز وجل، هذا يدل على وجوب إفراد الله بالتوحيد. الثامن، دقة خلقه. التاسع، إجابة المضطر، يدل على وجوب إفراد الله بالتوحيد. والعاشر، ما جاء في أوصاف المعبودات التي عبدت من دون الله، ذكرها بأوصاف النقص التي تدل على أنها لا تستحق العبادة، أولم يروا أنه لا يكلمهم ولا يهديهم، إلى غير ذلك من الأوصاف التي تدل على أن هذه المعبودات لا تستحق أن تعبد، ولا يستحق أن يعبد إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وهذا كله من الدلائل الكثيرة في القرآن والسنة على وجوب إفراد الله بالتوحيد والبراءة من الشرك وأهله. ومع هذا تجد هؤلاء يخطئون في معنى لا إله إلا الله، ولا يفهمونها حق الفهم، بخلاف كثير من العامة، كثير من الجهال، أو ممن ليس عنده علم يعرف لا إله إلا الله ويعرف معناها ويعرف مقتضياتها. نعم
نعم. طيب، As the Sheikh Abdullah continued by saying, then he said, Rahimahullah, meaning Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, Rahimahullah, and for anybody to see that the majority of the Quran shows you this principle from so many ways. Rahimahullah shows us what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather, Rahimahullah Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab shows us in the introduction of this book what we have read in the last class, how clear the speech regarding Tawheed is, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be singled with worship, and the forbiddance of matters of shirk. And he told us of so many proofs and so many ways that the least of the people in knowledge, but rather the least of them in understanding, will be able to understand and will be able to comprehend. The people understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to be upon Tawheed, to single Him alone with worship, and that Allah warns us of matters of shirk or polytheism. Along with that, yet you find so many of those that are known to be smart or intellectual will fall, those who have, as the Sheikh said, Hafidhahullah, those who have very good understanding of matters of fiqh, rulings, matters of inheritance, matters of language, yet when it comes to the matters of Tawheed, they would fall into shirk, they would fall into matters of tawassul or asking other than Allah, they would fall into innovations of bid'ah, which are matters that's more important and greater than anything else in the religion. No doubt, this is amazing that they fall in such matters with so much understanding of other facts of the religion. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to fulfill matters of Tawheed, to be upon sincerity in all actions of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to close any path whatsoever that will lead to have any deficiency in Tawheed or nullify your Tawheed. As you probably know, matters that nullify Tawheed will lead you or will be considered from Ash-Shirk Al-Akbar or Major Shirk. And matters will lead, that will lead to have deficiency in your Tawheed is from minor shirk. This is why Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah had two chapters in Kitab al-Tawheed regarding these matters. نعم شيخنا هل ذكرتم أسماء الفصلين في كتاب التوحيد؟
إيه باب ما جاء في حماية المصطفى حمى التوحيد باب ما جاء
حماية
المصطفى حمى التوحيد وسد طرق الشرك
as the Sheikh Allah stated, Imam Abdul Wahhab, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, mentioned in Kitab al-Tawheed the chapter of what had been narrated from al-Mustafa, meaning from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding protecting oneself upon Tawheed and close any path of shirk. And close any path of shirk. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in his book, and they have not been commanded except to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincere to him in the matters of religion. Sincere to him, all of the religion. This is why the first matter that comes to a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about himself, say, O people, worship your Lord that have created you till the end of the ayat, so you may be upon taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to worship him alone subhanahu wa ta'ala and single him with tawheed. Whoever is reciting Surah Al-Fatiha will realize that Surah Al-Fatiha was all about Tawheed, but rather it actually came with the three categories of Tawheed. Also at the end of the Quran, Surah An-Nas came with the three divisions of Tawheed. but rather all of the Quran. And all of the verses of Quran in one way or shape is related to matters of Tawheed and encourages the believer to be upon sincerity in the religion for Allah alone without any partners, and to free oneself from matters of shirk and the people of shirk. من قال يا شيخنا أنه من السنن في قراءة سنتي الفجر أن يبدأ بالكافرون وفي الثانية بالإخفاف. Ibn al-Qayyim رحمه الله said, but rather you learn that when you are making the sunnah of Salat al-Fajr that you're supposed to start, it is highly recommended that you recite Surah Al-Kafirun after Al-Fatiha in the first rak'ah and recite Surah Al-Ikhlas after Al-Fatiha in the second rak'ah. Also, when it comes to sunnah Salat al-Maghrib, you do the same thing. In doing so, the Shaykh Hafidhahullah said, Ibn al-Qayyim points out to you that you start in your day with Tawheed and finish your day with Tawheed. And you start your night with Tawheed and you finish your night with Tawheed. So it came, as the Shaykh said, Hafidhahullah, the life of the Muslim, all of it, in every facet, fashion or form, rotates around Tawheed. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah also mentioned that all of the Quran deals with matters of Tawheed. Quran rather comes with five matters regarding that issue, regarding Tawheed. First matter is to clarify what Tawheed is. And the second matter to forbid about matters of shirk. And the third matter to show us the reward for those who are upon Tawheed and their final abode and blessing to be in the paradise. And the fourth matter, the punishment of people of shirk and the final abode in the hellfire. And the fifth matter regarding the rulings, the commands, the forbiddings, and all of these are from what we call what completes Tawheed. So the people of knowledge gathered all of the indications of Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, and they said in the Quran, so many proofs from so many ways have told us about Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. And as the Sheikh said, we're going to mention them in summary, the first of which are the verses that indicated the Rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It also led us to indicate or gave us an indication of singular Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with Uluhiyya. And the second point is that the Quran mentioned the names of Allah, the beautiful names of Allah, and the perfect attributes. And that indicated for us matters of Tawheed. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about himself or asked the people of shirk, are many different lords to be worshipped better or Allah al-Wahid, the one al-Qahar? And the third point is that all of the harm as well as all of the benefit is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fourth point, there's so many blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so many of his signs, miracles, and verses and so much of his perfection and bestowment of his blessings upon his slaves and servants and his creation. And the fifth point, regarding the stories of nations that came before us, indicates that Tawheed existed. And the sixth point, the examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us in the Quran also indicate that Allah is the only one to be single with Tawheed. And the seventh point indicates that all of the creation is in dire need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including the angels, the prophets, the messengers, even the master of the creation, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the fifth point, the intricacy and how delicate and amazing his creation is. And the ninth point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers those who are going through calamity if they call upon him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the tenth point, what came regarding the descriptions of his creation subhanahu wa ta'ala, or rather what came regarding descriptions of those who are worshipped other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how Allah described him with descriptions of deficiency that indicates to us that they're not worthy of being worshipped. including examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us in the Quran regarding these things that were worshipped from His creation, and how they cannot talk back to the creation, and how they cannot guide back or guide the creation, and so on. And other than that, of the descriptions that tells us that nothing is worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and anything other than Allah that's being worshipped is not worthy in the first place to be even considered for worship. All of this, as the Shaykh said, Hafidhahullah, indicates that Allah is to be singled alone with Tawheed subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to free oneself from shirk and the people of shirk. Along with this, you still find those who are considered to be intellectual or smart making mistakes in the meaning of La ilaha illallah, which in itself a contradiction to so many what we may refer to as ignorant people or simple people that actually understand what La ilaha illallah means and what is necessary to be upon the statement of faith, and other than that, of matters of tawheed. Now,
ثم قال رحمه الله في آخر هذا الأصل ثم صار على أكثر الأمة ما صار أظهر لهم الشيطان الإخلاص في صورة تنقص الصالحين والتقصير في حقوقهم وأظهر لهم الشرك بالله في صورة محبة الصالحين وأتباعهم. يقول رحمه الله تعالى هنا يبين أن مع هذا الوضوح والبيان صار على أكثر الأمة ما صار من الإعراض عن تعلم الكتاب والسنة، ومن عدم الوضوح في فهم التوحيد، ومن الوقوع في الشرك الانحراف بباب توحيد الألوهية، بل أبواب التوحيد جميع. ومن أعظم البلاء وأعظم التلبيس حين يضحك هؤلاء المشركون أو دعاة الشرك من القبورية وغيرهم على كثير من الجهال فيسمون الشرك بغير اسمه خداعا وتلبيسا، فيسمون الأشياء بغير أسمائها الشرعية، وهذا من مداخل الشيطان وتلبيسه وتدليس شياطين الإنس والجن. ومن أعظم ذلك التلبيس الذي يدخل العبادة في الشرك بالله عز وجل، حين أظهر الشرك تنقصا للصالحين، وما نظروا إلى أنه تنقص من حق رب العالمين، وأظهر الغلو في الصالحين وإعطائهم أوصاف الله سبحانه وتعالى وحقوقه، ظهروه تعظيما للصالحين ومحبة لهم، ولكن المحبة الحقيقية للصالحين وللأنبياء وفي اتباعهم والسير على هديهم، وهم سائرون على التوحيد ودعون إلى إفراد الله عز وجل بالعبادة. أما هؤلاء القبورية فلم يفرقوا بين الحب في الله وبين الحب مع الله، لم يفرقوا بين الحب في الله كمحبة الصالحين في الله، وهذا أمر شرعي إذا ثبت أنه من أهل الصلاح، وبين الحب مع الله، وهذا هو الحب الشركي. وإخراج الشرك والمحرمات والبدع في قالب الشرع هذه هي حيل أهل الباطل من القديم. لذلك كان هؤلاء القبوريون ما يفعلونه عند قبورهم يسمونه وليا ولا يسمونه صنما ووثنا بعد أن عبد من دون الله عز وجل. ومعلوم أن الأسماء لا أثر لها ولا تغير المعاني. معلوم أن الأسماء إذا تغيرت يبقى الحكم الشرعي على مبانيها وعلى هيئتها، فإعطاؤها اسما شرعيا وهي في الأصل محرمة لا ينفعها شيء. وهذا كمن شرب الخمر وسماها ماء وهو ما شرب إلا خمرا، عقابه عقاب شارب الخمر، بل لعله يزيد أو يزاد في عقابه للتدليس والكذب في التسمية. لذلك جاء في بعض الأحاديث أنه يأتي قوم يشربون الخمر يسمونها بغير اسمها، وأول من سمى ما فيه غضب لله وعصيانه بالأسماء المحبوبة عند السامعين إبليس لعنه الله. هؤلاء هم أتباع إبليس، فإن إبليس قال لأبي البشر، قال لآدم: يا آدم هل أدلك على شجرة الخلد وملك لا يبلى؟ فسمى الشجرة التي نهى الله عنها آدم شجرة الخلد. وهكذا تسمية القبر مشهدا، ومن يعتقدوه ومن يعتقد فيه يسمونه وليا لا تخرجه عن اسم الصنم والوثن الذي يعبد من دون الله. فهؤلاء إنما غرضهم التوصل إلى الممنوع بوضع أسماء شرعية يتسترون بها، غرضهم التوصل إلى الممنوع بوضع أسماء شرعية يتسترون بها عن ارتكاب النواهي، فيخرجون النواهي الأمور التي لا يرضاها الله بأسماء شرعية أو بقالب الشرع، مثل ما أخرج الجهمية تعطيل الله عز وجل عن صفاته بقالب التنزيه وقالوا نحن ننزه الله، وإنما هم عطلوا صفات الله. وكما أخرج المنافقون في القرآن النفاق قالوا أخرجوه في قالب الإحسان والتوفيق، إحسانا وتوفيقا، وإنما هو نفاق. وكما أخرج الروافض الإلحاد والكفر وسب الصحابة بقالب محبة آل البيت والتعصب لهم، وكما أخرج الصوفية تصوفهم وبدعهم في قالب الفقر والزهد، وكما أخرج الخوارج خوارج العصر والتكفيريين خروجهم على ولاة الأمر في قالب الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر. وهكذا يقول ابن القيم رحمه الله: وأخرج أرباب البدع جميعهم بدعهم في قوالب، يعني في تغطية، في قوالب متنوعة بحسب تلك البدع، فكل صاحب باطل لا يتمكن من ترويج باطله إلا بإخراجه في قالب حق. وكل باطل، كل صاحب باطل لا يتمكن من ترويج باطله إلا بإخراجه في قالب حق. ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى عقد في ذلك مبحثا في كتابه إغاثة اللهفان، بين فيه طريقة شياطين الإنس والجن في تسمية الأشياء بغير أسمائها. وكما أخرج هؤلاء التوسل الشركي بقالب محبة الصالحين وقالب أنهم وساط بينهم وبين الله وغير ذلك، لكن الواجب على العبد أن يفهم حقيقة التوحيد وأن يعرف أن هذه الأشياء من الشرك وإن سميت بغير أسمائها، ولا يفهم ذلك إلا من درس التوحيد وعرف حقوقه ولوازمه ودرس الشرك وعرف مداخل الشيطان سواء في جانب الشرك الأكبر أو جانب الشرك الأصغر. وهنا نكون قد انتهينا من الأصل الأول. نلقاكم بحول الله وقوته الأسبوع القادم بشرح الأصل الثاني. الله أعلم، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد، وجزاكم الله خيرا.
جزاكم الله خير. So Sheikh حفظه الله continue by saying, so this asl have led to so much destruction amongst the ummah. It shows us what the shaitan would show them in the form of making those who are righteous to be deficient, or that you are deficient in worship on Allah by looking down at the righteous. The shaitan showed them that you are deficient regarding worshiping Allah by looking down at the righteous. And show them also regarding that if you want to love Allah, you must glorify the righteous and follow them. As Rahimahullah said, even though it's so clear matters of Tawheed and it's been clarified to the majority of the Ummah, yet you see from the symptoms of those that have learned the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and yet they were not clear in understanding matters of Tawheed and have fallen into matters of Shirk. But rather, they also delved or went to great distances in matters of Uluhiyya, but rather all of the chapters of Tawheed. Again, I stand corrected on this, that you see, for those who, or the symptoms of those who are turned away from learning the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, those who have turned away from learning the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, along with the fact that it was so clear for them to understand matters of Tawheed and protect themselves from falling to Shirk, but rather they're deficient in the matters of Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, but rather they're deficient in the matters of all of the matters of Tawheed altogether. Again, to clarify this even better, Rahmallah said, it shows you, even with all that clarity, that the majority of the Ummah have turned away from learning the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even though it is so clear in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, understanding matters of Tawheed and how to avoid falling to Shirk. Yet, a lot of the believers, a lot of the Muslims have turned away from understanding matters of Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, but rather they don't understand the matters of Tawheed altogether. But it's rather from the greatest of calamity and the greatest of deception is when those who worship the graves fool so many of the ignorant by calling their actions other than what they are. So by them, meaning the worshippers of the grave and the people of shirk, fooling the ignorant by calling their actions by other than what they really are, then they are fooling them by such names. So they would call it by other than the names of the Sharia. This is from the ways of the shaitan. This is from the deception of the devil upon the servants and the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is from the greatest of that deception regarding worship of Allah that you call an action that had been warned against in the book of Allah and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by other than what it is to make it lawful to do. Like when they do actions of shirk, or they rather they say, for example, it is from the shirk of from falling into polytheism to look down at the righteous or put him in a lowly position. And they would not speak of being deficient regarding the rights of Allah, the Lord of the worlds, or did not show that you being deficient regarding the rights of Allah, the Lord of the world, is even more important than what they are talking about. So they, in other words, they reverse the matters around. They showed us, for example, going to extremes to be upon ghulu, or go beyond what is legislated regarding the righteous and give them rights that don't belong to them by saying that this extreme love for the righteous is actually loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reality is that if they are upon such guidance, if they are truly upon the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and upon tawheed and upon calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they wouldn't be going to extreme regarding the righteous, but rather they would be talking about how those righteous were doing what they were supposed to be doing upon worshiping Allah and following the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and teaching people tawheed. As for those meaning the people of shirk, they never distinguished between loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or love for the sake of Allah and loving along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-hubb fi Allah and al-hubb ma'Allah. Al-hubb fi Allah or loving for the sake of Allah is a legislated matter, that you love for the sake of Allah the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated for you to love other than Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for loving along with Allah is what we call polytheistic love or love of shirk, wa'iyadu billah. That is to delve into matters of shirk and prohibited matters and matters of innovations and clothe him or cloak him or cover them in a cover that make it legislated to do so. This actually, as the Sheikh said, from the trickery of the people of falsehood, of people of falsehood from beginning of times. This is why those worshippers of the graves do what they do around the graves and call it by other than what it is. And they don't call those graves or those idols that they worship by what they're supposed to be calling them. And they end up worshiping these places and these idols along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is known that no matter what names you give to an action or an object, that does not change the reality of that object or that action. And the legislation or the ruling of the legislation, it stays the same the way that Allah legislated subhanahu wa ta'ala. So giving a name from the legislation to anything does not change what that thing is. Just like those who say drinking, or those who are drinking, wal'iyadu billah, liquor or intoxicants and call it water. That does not change the reality of the fact that it is khamr, it is intoxicants. But rather, his punishment, as the Sheikh Hafidhahullah said, might be more for the fact that he called it by other than what it is called by in the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of the deception and because of the deception in the naming convention that he's using. This is why it came in the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding those who come with names for liquor or intoxicants and call them by other than what they really are, and how they will be punished. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. And the first of creation that called things or objects by other than the names was Iblis al-La'in, Iblis himself, Satan or the devil, and those who followed him from then on. When he came to Adam and he told them, O Adam, shall I tell you of the tree of eternity and a dominion that will never go away, or a kingdom that will never go away? So he called the tree that Allah forbade Adam from, he called it the tree of eternity to deceive Adam. Just like people of innovation will call a grave Mashhad, and what they believe regarding that grave. Or they would call a righteous man a wali, or a close friend to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or whoever they worship in other than Allah in the graves. But that still does not make it different from the fact that it is a form of shirk, or a shirk in itself, in one way or shape or form. The reason they do what they do by giving names from the Sharia to things that they're doing that is not from the Sharia, so they can reach the point of doing what's prohibited. So they cover their actions. Nah.
أقدر أخرج أنا من سكايب؟
بس خليك معنا شيخنا إذا كان في حاجة ناقصة عندي إن شاء الله أسألكم فيها بس أنا قربت أخلص بارك الله فيك.
توكل لا بس.
So they would cover. I'm not sure. I cannot tell if the wood was us or not.
So they would cover.
داود معنا؟ طيب.
نعم السلام عليكم.
So they would cover. عليكم السلام ورحمة. So they would cover their actions that's against the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and forbidden actions that Allah have forbidden His book or His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam have forbidden by giving it names that doesn't belong to it, and fall into actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased with. Just like in Jahmiyyah, when it came to, as they claim, purifying the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or wanted to stay away from making Allah similar to His creation, they fell into negating the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the notion they wanted to free Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of descriptions that might make Him similar to His creation. Like people of hypocrisy, regarding their hypocrisy and what they have done of actions, they said, we only did that out of ihsan and out of seeking success or any firmness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do actions to show the people that they're doing such actions only to be shown upon ihsan. Like people of Rawafid, they have fallen into ilhad or atheism, wal-iyadu billah, and disbelief, and cursing out the Sahaba, and covered that by saying that they love the people of the family or the people of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like a Sufiya, have covered their actions of, yani wal-iyadu billah, of different innovations that they have done, and covered it by saying they're upon, yani, being upon poverty and frugality and so on. Like in the Khawarij, yani, covered their actions of throwing people out of the fold of Islam under the guise of commanding good and forbidding evil. And that's what Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said. The people of Bid'ah have put out their innovations in so many forms in accordance to the bid'ah that they're doing to cover for their actions. So every man or woman upon falsehood that cannot market their falsehood, they would put it out in a different form or give it a different name. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, in his book Ighathat al-Lahfan, showed us the path of the shayateen of ins and jinn, the devils of mankind as well as devils of creatures of fire, in giving names to objects that don't belong to them. As with the case of those who call upon Allah by falling into shirk and call that yani using the righteous to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is obligation upon us that we must understand the reality of tawheed as well as understanding the reality of shirk. But you cannot understand this matter except by studying tawheed, know the rights of tawheed, the necessities of tawheed, as well as studying the matters of shirk, whether that's shirk akbar or shirk asghar. And by doing so, as the Sheikh said, Hafizahullah, we finish the first principle, and next week, inshallah, we go over the second principle. جزاكم الله خير يا شيخنا. أنا سامحني أنا كنت خايف لأن الحاجات دي شوية دقيقة. تسامحونا إن حاط النقب معنا.
نلقاكم على خير إن شاء الله.
بارك الله فيكم. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. So anything that I said that's correct is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And anything that I said that is not correct is only for myself and from the shaitan. And please, if there's any correction for the translation, forward that to either the brothers at Markaz al-Tawheed in Sydney, Australia, or Salafi Lectures Australia, or even to the brothers at MPUBS, Muhaddin Publications. Jazakumullah khair, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.